Oops.
We're back. I could tell you're out there.
We don't suffer no beer around here, which is not the way everyone else in a mountain ski town lives their lives.
No, most of them beer.
Beer.
This is what we like.
That's whiskey. Beer people. And a beer every once in a long while, or when there's nothing else and you feel like having something, you know, light beers. I don't know how people just sort of like. And then, you know, hey, you know, they're fat though, right? They don't know it. They're either fat and they don't know it because they exercise a ton, or they're just, this was all working. Just like a lot of people, this was all working just fine 30 years ago.
Right.
And now,
I mean, I like the taste of some beer.
Yeah,
you know, and it's fun to go over to like Manzai and sit outside, have a beer, right?
Yeah.
But two, and I'm just not feeling it anymore.
Two, and I want to sleep under the bench.
Yeah.
I'm going to toast you right here. Mm-hmm. Back to, we haven't done a podcast.
We
haven't done an Are We Recording, which is the name of this podcast, in...
I don't even know.
I blame hockey and skiing.
Because kids. Yeah, it's kids. Yeah, it's really kids.
Ruin everything.
Yeah.
As usual. I wanted to bring something up, and I know you probably have a lot of stuff, but I wanted to bring something up that I don't think you knew about me.
Okay.
Do you know that I hate gift cards?
Oh, they're the worst.
Why? Like, can we, if anyone out there doesn't know, maybe we should enlighten them as to why gift cards are the worst.
Well, my problem is generally that, you know, I get the gift card and I'm like, okay, now I have to put it somewhere where I don't ever forget about it. Right.
Yeah.
And then eventually I'm like, oh, I know I need a new pair of shoes and I have some REI gift cards somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I stress out.
Because you can't find it.
Yeah.
Or you walk out of REI having just paid $100 for your shoes and realize at the car that you have a $100 gift card in the like glove compartment of the car.
Right.
Because it's the stupidest thing in the world.
I mean, there is something dumber than that.
What? It's dumber than that.
Those like, they're like little credit card gift cards you can use anywhere.
Yes.
But they won't, and maybe they're better now, but they used to not tell you what the balance was.
Oh,
you just had to guess. You had to like try and keep track on a piece of paper or something. And so you'd go to a restaurant and you're like, there's some money on here. And they're like, well, how much? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, well, I have to put an amount into the terminal.
Right.
So do we just guess and see if it gets declined a bunch of times? So I'm like, I don't know.
And then you have to go, if you can, nowadays you can go online, like Visa or someone will have, and you might, and some of them are third party, so it's really a pain, but you have to go online or something like that and check your gift card balance,
right.
Which is like, now I have another thing to do.
Which also means you have to, you know, like do the thing so that you can check the balance.
Oh yeah, you probably got to like log in and make, maybe even make an
type
account.
Type in the number.
Oh yeah,
or
type in all
like
the
that,
numbers. Yeah. There's no scan code. No. Yeah, like 30994 26 numbers. It's super obnoxious, and it's so funny because it's kind of like bottled water in the fact that we already have a solution for this. It's called cash.
Right.
Like we have a solution for this, and it's like bottled water. You don't need this because you have free water in your house. So why are we giving Visa money and whoever else, or like you definitely are going to Jersey? Kevin, I insist that you go eat at Jersey Boys Pizza. Okay, that was not so bad. But
what if, you know, that the worst would be like, here's one for TGI Fridays.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, because so the reason this comes up is because I was storming around the house a couple years in a row. My company, who's a nice company or whatever, but they're based in Nashville, and people in Nashville, they get nothing better to do. They spend all their days at Target and playing guitar. That's all they do. They don't know how to do anything else, right? So so I get Target gift cards, and I'm like, I don't have a Target. I mean, there is one. It's far away.
Right.
I don't shop there. Look at me. I'm a 51-year-old ex-punk rocker with like who skis all day and rides his mountain bike and whatever. what about me says I go to Target at all, you know?
And have you been in our Target? I don't know if all Targets are the same now or what, but there will be just whole rows of shelves that are empty.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, I think, why would I drive, you know, the 20 miles or whatever it is to Target to walk in there and find out that the whole department where I wanted to buy the thing is like pretty much empty.
Which the joke of it is, the gift card is supposed to be for me, for my hard work and whatever birthday thing. Thank you for that. And I do appreciate it. But at the same time, then it's like, for the last couple of years in a row, they've sent them to me and I've been like, and I've even griped about it to HR, but the HR person keeps changing over. There's always a new person. So I don't know. They're having trouble keeping that spot. Point is, like the last couple of years in a row, when at some random time down in that area, and my kids are with me and they love going to Target because they can buy little tiny things like skincare or whatever they want. I go in there, I end up buying them something. Which I buy them stuff all the time. They get tons of stuff. Like, the whole point of the gift card is for me to get something for myself, and I can't get anything for myself because it's a Target gift card.
And don't you think, I mean, so when I was a kid, like, Kmart was cool, mm-hmm. right? And people would go to Kmart.
Blue Light Special.
Yeah, and don't you think that Target is basically what Kmart was?
Oh, totally.
40 years ago or whatever? Yeah. I mean, they both seem to be, it's like, haven't you seen this game plan before? Don't you see where it leads?
Yeah, you're
good. At least to going out of business.
Let's hope so.
Because you go into, like, Target, I never loved Target, but when you used to go into Target, it was, like, nice and clean, and the, you know, there were people there to help you, and it was kind of organized and stuff.
Right, right.
And now it's like,
there's nobody there.
There's, like, the toy boxes are open, and some of the toys are on the floor, stuff's knocked over, and you go over there, and you're like, this box is... Which one is, what is this? I can't even find the thing. Is this the thing? It says 20, where's the, wait, there's no price on this one, but it looks kind of like this one. And then you wander up and down aisles looking for somebody to try and help you. It's like they're becoming dumpy far as what I can see.
Oh, I would agree. And I don't go to a lot of big box stores. And I don't think you do either, but you do have to go to them once in a while. And I think it's a lot like the Home Depot thing and the Lowe's, like, and those things are crazy because A, there's no employees. B, there's no employees who know what they're doing because the mom and pop, you know, behind the counter person who, you know, that's the weird thing about what we've done with proliferation of sort of like ease of shopping and single stop stuff is we've gotten rid of the expert, right? There's no expert anymore.
That's American capitalism, like, defined.
Right.
Is, you know, kind of almost like dumb it down so we can basically extract all the nickels from the piggy bank and then just let the piggy bank crumble on the counter or whatever.
Right.
Which is like everything.
So you used to be able to go to a hardware store, and this is absolutely true. You used to be able to go to hardware store. And don't get me wrong. There are some knowledgeable people in these places, but most of them are not. Don't deserve a job, but this is supposed to be a home store where you can learn. It's like going to a record store and the person knowing nothing about music. It's like you'd think that like you would know something and be able to guide me to like what genre is Miles Davis? Oh, let me look it up. It's like, so the concept is that we like a lot of things that are like absurd in our culture in America and really around the world is like we have taken away the mom and pop store and the expert. The expert is now YouTube. And now you have to become the expert.
Yes.
Because now you have to become an expert
of everything, Mark. Yeah. Everything in your life, you need to know it.
You can't walk in there and go, hey, look, I have a plumbing thing. I need a fixture. I don't know what it is. And the person goes like, hey, well, I kind of know something about plumbing. I'm pretty smart. There's only so much to know about it. I'm going to bring you over here and I'm going to help you work this out. Now it's like, well, go figure it out on YouTube. Figure out what you need. Come here. I might be able to help you kind of find it if we have it.
It's everything because it's our department store. It's our record store. It's our hardware store. It's healthcare. It's your retirement. I mean, it used to be that money was just invested for you.
Yeah.
And then when you retired, you just got to live forever mm-hmm. and get some money every month. And you knew how much
yeah.
you were going to get. Now, then they got this this great con where they were like, hey, you know what would be better, Mark? Better than me putting money away for you is that I let you put money away for you.
Yeah.
And then you just deal with it. Now you just have to be a financial, you know, investment right. expert.
You have to be an expert at everything, right?
Or you can go hire some guy who will take 4%.
It's
or
too
whatever.
Expensive
yeah.
as a company to pay somebody to be an expert. So they pay nobody to be an expert. They pay somebody to just sort of like hold the wheel of the car so it doesn't go off the road. And you have to be the mechanic, right? You have to be the one that crawls underneath it and figures it out. Like that's the way. And they figured it out though, because if they had an actual mechanic on site, that costs money. That person's right. an expert. We don't want to do that.
Right.
So we're just going to like make you have to be an expert in everything, whether it be computer, fix your computer. And you know what the expert is YouTube.
Right.
You have to be the expert.
And of course, you never know on YouTube. You can't judge on like the number of views or anything, the veracity of this person's knowledge, right? Totally. Because the biggest morons have the most views.
Oh yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's almost like you need to go, okay, this has 10 million views. This guy's probably full of it. This one has 2 million. I'll probably start there.
Yeah, yeah. But he has a like bow tie.
It has a lot.
So I think he knows a lot about finance. He's got a bow tie. So, and he has suspenders. He definitely a contractor. Knows how to put a toilet.
Didn't Tucker Carlson dress like that?
He did. And he does know how to change a toilet out. I'm sure of it. Yeah.
I mean, he was super surprised to find out that in Russia, that you go to a grocery store and if you put like a quarter or whatever it was, a ruble, into the grocery cart, you can't get it back till you return the cart. And it incentivizes you, Mark, to return the cart instead of to like take it home to your homeless encampment or whatever.
Leave it on the street.
And of course, everybody was like, have you not been to a grocery store in like anywhere in the world? Because there are tons of grocery stores that have that exact same yeah. thing.
How about this? Are you capable of critical thought?
Right.
This
no.
is, it's not hard to figure out what this is about and why they're doing it. They're having a problem with losing their carts. And carts aren't actually cheap. Honestly, they probably cost like 100, 80, 100, 200 bucks each. And no, they're not cheap.
I mean, basically, any place that has that cart had a problem with the carts not coming back. Mm-hmm. Which means Russia had a problem with people just stealing the grocery carts. Right. He also was very surprised. I know this is all old news, but you know, like, I don't know.
I didn't see this whole thing about gosh. Him in Russia. I heard about him, and that was just so eye-rollingly ridiculous.
His brain was exploding because, like, you could go to McDonald's and get a whole meal for, like, instead of $22 for your family at McDonald's, it was, like, $12. And people were like, you realize that the median household income in Russia is $7,000. Right. So this is still like way more expensive for them than it is for us.
Yeah, still. What's absurd about this is just like, is this just sort of like, when are we going to face the fact in this country that while all of these people say, call, you know, or like shake, rattle the sword of communism and socialism at anybody who's left leaning at all.
Right.
They're literally going over there to a communist country and painting it up as though a better way to live.
Well, Mark, it's not communist anymore in Russia. I mean, of course their best buds, North Korea and China are communist. And Russia is more, what is it, like an oligarchy now, right? It's almost worse than communism because people don't get to share in things anymore. Right. It's basically everyone is left to fend for themselves and the oligarchs just like take from you.
Right. But if you're an oligarch or an oligarch wannabe, you're definitely going to want to like steer America towards an oligarchy.
Right. Yes. Right?
You're going to be like, guys, look over here. How awesome it is over here.
Right.
It's cool over here. You should come over here. And look, I can get all the oil contracts. That
right.
would be in our country. Imagine that.
Let's standardize
Texaco, and let's like.
I mean, when the Russian government collapsed, and all of these state-run companies were just kind of like given to like different
the bros,
friends of friends. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, come on. This is what a whole segment of our population is like. That's what I want.
That's what I want. Right. I want that guy being rich,
right,
and telling me what to do. I want him to go buy Real Madrid. That's the guy I want to buy Real Madrid. Not You know, like, I don't want a president that, or people in my country who can't afford hockey teams that, right? That, like, you know, everyone can, I mean, but truthfully, in many ways, we are an oligarchy.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So. Well, so, I mean, that kind of comes back around to, we were talking about how this is going, you know, what you were just talking about with the death of the mom and pop store and all the actual experts that could tell you things. Like, I went to our bookstore, our local bookstore.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I
want to plug them because they were awesome. I forgot.
Bookworks?
Bookworks.
I don't know. They're great, Bookworks, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know the name. I just go in there and I buy books.
Right.
I buy quite
it's
a few
right
books
next
there,
to the Third Street Market. Yeah, that's
I
all know. I know.
It's the bookstore in
that
town.
Buffalo Cafe on one side, Third Street Market on the other, right?
It's we live in a small town. Right. There's one bookstore and it's good, and there's one record
that's
store
right.
and it's good.
And it's good.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
I know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we went in the bookstore and, you know, Alexander was like, I want this graphic novel for $20. And I was like, you are going to read this in 10 minutes. I'm not paying.
No way, right?
I'm not buying a book that is going to cost me $2 a minute for your entertainment. So I was walking around and pointing at things. He's like, I don't know. So this woman came out and I just said, this is what kind of things he likes. And she's like, I would try this, or this. And I was like, here you go. And he was like, okay, this one. And he took it home. And then he read like 90% of it in like the next 2 days or 3 days. And it's like, you know,
it's
like
book,
300 or 400 pages. And he was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And it costs less than the I have nothing against graphic novels. I just can't afford to buy them the time. They're
so
expensive.
Yeah.
It's like comic books.
Yeah.
Super cool, but I can't spend like $5 or whatever a comic book is, and you read it in like eight minutes.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Yeah, great artistry here.
Yeah, no, totally. It's there's not enough to it. And it's the art that actually costs the money, right?
It is.
The printing and the color and all that stuff.
And they
the
deserve
binding.
It. They're,
and they deserve
you know,
it.
Yeah, if you're the artist and you're doing a good job.
And there are other people out there who are supporting the graphic novel industry.
It just doesn't have to be me.
It doesn't have to be you.
And so, you know, there was a long time ago when all bookstores were that way.
Yeah.
And then Barnes & Noble and Borders and whatever other ones, I don't even know, came along, right? And just decimated the mom and pop ones.
And at the beginning, I think, and for quite a while, they had some knowledge stuff because they had to, right?
Yeah, people left, like, oh, mom and pop went out of business.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go get a job at Borders.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're paying,
I guess. Yeah, the first, like, I would say first 5 years or so, you'd go into Borders or Barnes & Noble, and it was kind of like, holy moly, they have everything.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, this is great. And then it quickly went kind of like the Home Depot route.
But they weren't trying to, but nothing in, the business model was not trying to educate the new employee about literature.
Well, and, I mean, once venture capital or, not private equity, I'm sorry,
private
not
equity.
Venture, private equity. Once private equity buys up your thing, they don't give two shits about the knowledge of the people.
No.
And then that's where we are with healthcare right now. I don't know if you've been reading all the things, but private equity is buying up. I think that's what happened to our hospitals.
Yeah.
We have one brand now, one corporate behemoth that owns our hospital here and the one in Kalispell. And it's kind of a shit show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they don't really care because they're not here to provide a good service. They are here to extract the nickels from the piggy bank.
Well, and I don't know. I admit I did not read this article, but I saw the headline and I extrapolated a lot from that headline. And I think I've got the gist of it.
As long as you read the headline, I think you're good.
Yeah. Trump's a great guy.
Right.
That was the headline. I don't know. It was a Fox. I don't know. It was a headline, though. I think it's
and
good.
Then the whole article was actually about Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, it was reversed. Right, it was meant in sarcasm.
Right.
Great guy. Like, you can't tell from text.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but this headline basically said that like the medical industry makes money off of denying you and insurance too, denying your coverage, denying you claims, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you can quickly jump forward and see that.
This might have been the one that was talking about. There's a particular company, and I have to look it up and see, but there's a particular company that started out as like a company that would try to help medical facilities and organizations figure out what's a fair amount of money to be paying for these procedures for the insurance companies. But then they ended up getting bought by private equity that bought the hospitals. And now the whole thing is that they're really helping them to inflate the price, but then deny it. So now the private equity takes a chunk. This company takes a chunk and the hospital makes a ton. But the person who went to the hospital is now on the hook for 60 grand.
Yeah, right. Totally.
So they've really just said, well, what we can do is just everybody who walks through the door owes us 10 grand or more.
Denying you healthcare, delaying, you know, sort of like you can think about it pretty quickly, like creating conditions that make you delay healthcare costs, et cetera, is like upselling you on, you know, the on the undercoat in your car. It's an upsell because it's like, oh, you have a cut on your finger. Well, and you want to come in and you want to get it fixed. Well, that's going to cost you $400 and it may not be covered. Okay. I don't know. I'm making this up, right? Okay. Well, now you're going like, I don't know, man. Like, I think I can clean this myself. It's going to be fine. I guess it'll be okay. Well, fast forward 6 months, it's gangrene and you're going to lose your hand. And that's a $60,000 bill. So instead of the $400 we were going to get out of you, we just got 60. All we had to do was wait 6 months and deny and encourage you not to come. Because even though we're telling you you should come, what we actually want you to think is like, oh, I don't know for sure if I'm going to get covered on this. I don't want to get in. If the doctor is in network and the hospital isn't or vice versa, I could get burned. It's not easy.
Well, I mean, how many people do we know that don't get the healthcare treatment that they need?
Both of our entire youths.
Yeah.
Today we're a little bit better off because we're in a position where we have some insurance and we're older and we have kids, so we kind of know to go. But still, I mean, I still wouldn't go for a lot of things, and I haven't gone for a lot of things, and I'm sure most of my entire youth, you don't go because you don't even understand it and you don't want to get hit with a massive bill.
No, who needs? I mean. Right now, as it is, we've had these high deductible health plans, you know, that you get on like the market.
Yeah, because you're a jerk.com, I think it is. Right. Yeah, I think that they don't veil these things, Kevin.
Bigsucker.com. I'm a sucker.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me buy my new boat.
Right.com. And so we have, you know, like $7,500 deductible or something like that.
Right.
And $1,500 a month premium. So pay $18,000. Then I get to pay another $7,500 on top of that. So $25,500. Then the insurance company kicks in. So after I paid $25,000, the insurance company is happy to help out. Now, at least with the high deductible one we had, that's like that's supposed to be your maximum out of pocket. Of course, I mean, if you get in a car accident in Idaho, you're screwed. Or you get in a car accident in any other, like, out of your network, then the whole deal's off.
Yeah.
My deductible is like $40,000 or something stupid. It's basically
out of network.
Right. Just give him your.
Take me to the in network hospital.
Just give him all your credit cards.
What were his last words? I think they were take me to the in-network hospital. Please take me to the in-network hospital. I don't want my family to be broke. Right. I want to leave something for my children.
I've said before, like, because I have life insurance, if that happened, I'd be better off just dying.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, they would just, right?
And so would my family.
We could either be bankrupt and I survive.
Right.
Or I die and you guys get money. And
you're not, let's be honest, you're not really contributing too much to your wife child. Kevin, come on here. Seriously.
Both financially and kind of emotionally.
You're really a bit of a succubus. Yeah, right. You're the succubus in the family, right? Yeah. You're just sort of draining the family coffers as it is. Like the emotional coffers as it is. Yeah.
I know. I just, like, I walk in and the oxygen flows out.
I mean, have you even talked to your child in the last 2 months?
I've yelled at him.
Well, yes, that's true. Yes, that's a kind of talking.
We have a physical bond, too. It's when I hit him.
It's when you hit him. Yeah, it's when you hit him. And well, now, and as he gets older, it's when he hits you.
Right.
That's why you hide more and more in the basement.
That's right, yeah.
All the time. The basement bathroom.
That's why I'm getting new doorknobs and a deadbolt for the basement door.
Yeah, for the basement door. For all the doors.
Right.
Just every deadbolt. Yeah, just deadbolt. On both sides. Like, you have two holes in
his deadbolt's gonna lock from the outside only,
and for my house I have a deadbolt on both sides, so you can lock it when you're inside or outside. So if the kid goes into the bathroom and I'm like, I'm sick of this kid, I deadbolted from the outside, And then, or vice versa. I mean, maybe they hate me.
Right.
You know,
then
or
they
I go in and I'm
inside?
Like, I'm deadbolted from the inside. I don't want to talk to my family today. Classic. You know, America's a cool place, Kevin. I just want to tell you right now. I remember these friends from Sweden. I may have brought this up before. They were good friends and they were really cool. And they'd come over here and they were very enamored by the U.S. They're really cool people. And they would just come for a month or two every summer, and they'd go home and work, and then they'd come, and he's a photographer, she's an actress, and it worked out for them for a period of time. Their kids were young, and they're like, oh, so cool. And I was like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's all right. And they'd be like, oh, it's cool. And they, we'd like to move here. Yeah. You may want, I don't know, you know, we'll see. And eventually they like, I remember 2 years after they stopped coming so much because that towards the end of their time here, they're like, not so cool. Not so cool. I didn't realize you have to like spend more for your house to get in a good school system, or you have to, or what's going on with the, what's going, you can't just show up and see. Oh gosh, sorry, my
what a bunch of amateurs.
Sorry, my daughter is calling me.
Oh no.
I don't know why that did that, but I'm gonna text her mid conversation. I'm gonna tell everybody what she's saying.
This is what happens when you haven't done a podcast in 6 months or something like that.
And when your children do not respect your privacy. See, I could have I could have put a bolt lock on this phone.
See, you should have locked her in the room. Well, oh, that's right. She'd still have the phone. Damn it.
Damn
see?
It. Ugh. Yeah, but anyway, so the healthcare system is... What is that? It's like you're squeezing into a bikini. A very good bikini briefs.
my
no, don't put that lid on that. Geez, my God,
sorry.
What kind of host are you?
Banana hammock.
Banana hammock. I haven't laughed in so long, Kevin.
I know. So then they were like, what the heck is with your healthcare system, right? And you're like, I have no clue, right?
Yeah,
I guess we could talk about it, but it should be an hour long podcast at least.
I think that it just sort of falls back into something we've talked about before, which is like, this is the world that humans are designing. This is like, we have to like sort of say this to ourselves. And I think that everybody should. Whether you be like the most ardent Trump supporter and with the flags in the back of your car or whatever, you have to look at this and say, you know, we are in control of this.
Right. We've chosen it.
This is a choice.
Right.
And some guy out there, a woman or man, who's just the most brilliant at making money, has figured out how to screw you.
Yeah.
How to make the limited time you have. That's what they've done with their life. It's the Elon Musk factor.
So that's when you said we are an oligarchy. That's basically what this is. So when we were talking about, you know, there used to be nonprofit hospitals and hospital systems and competition, and we could afford things, and we had education, and our parents could go, and you could go to UCLA, and it was like $300 a semester.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not even $50. I don't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. Now basically, good luck.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just read an article today that was about our retirement fiasco. Mm-hmm. You know that the median like 60-year-old has $80,000 saved for retirement, something like that.
Not surprising.
And when you do the average, it's like 150. That's not even very good because that counts like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're doing fine.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So the median is the more accurate, and it's like these people can live for 3 months.
Yeah.
Before they run out of money
totally. Yeah.
In retirement. And so what we've done is by shifting the burden from, you know, government, like every other first world country does, everybody else pays in through their tax. Yes, I know your taxes are higher, but you're guaranteed that there's going to be a certain amount of money for the rest of your life when mm-hmm. you retire. Mm-hmm. At a certain age. We don't have that. Never really had that other than, I mean, we have Social Security, but we don't even try to keep that going. We're like, guess what, guys? It's just not going to be there
it's
for you. We're
be,
not.
Yeah. And
I
we
mean,
just, yeah.
I know we could just, you know, raise the limit on before you don't have to pay payroll taxes
sure.
to Social Security.
Yeah.
And that would take care of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Or we could say people above this that have this much or more in wealth don't even get to take it at all.
Yeah.
That would solve it. We have multiple ways to solve it, but instead we're like, I don't know. There's not much we can do. You should probably put more in your 401k or your IRA.
Right,
and
right.
Guess what? That is because all of these financial lobbying companies are like, yes, please. Because guess what? I get to take a percentage of every 401k, every IRA, every SEP.
Yeah, I don't get a percentage of your Social Security check. I get a percentage of...
But and Americans suck at doing the right thing. People suck at doing the right thing, right? Yeah. People, when you go to the beach and you're like, that's a $200,000 boat.
Yeah.
That guy has chosen a $200,000 boat over 401k or an IRA
and the
or
truck
whatever,
that
right?
It, there's no way most of you are going home are going home to a bank account.
Right.
There's no way.
No.
To a retirement
fund. There's
and
a bunch
you,
of...
And that boat, you can't sell that boat. You can, might be able to sell your house and downsize a little bit, but you cannot sell that boat to retire on.
No. It's not going to profit. As soon as you buy that boat, it's like a car. You take it out of the lot, it's depreciated by 20% instantly.
It begins sinking immediately as soon as you put it in the water, right? And basically, yeah, absolutely. It's like... And of course I don't in theory I don't feel bad for that person, but I guess they've been sold a lifestyle that most of them can't even afford.
Well, and 2/3 of our GDP is consumer spending.
Boats. 2/3 of the GDP is people buying $200,000 boats.
I was at hockey the other day and someone said, "Hey, did you know?" And I don't know who they're talking about. Did you know so and so bought a $400,000 boat? And they were like, To drive on Whitefish Lake?
What? What? What does it do?
How?
Does it fly?
Right?
Does it boat and fly? And does it pay for its... Does it create its own fuel?
Right?
Right? Yeah. I don't know. What is it?
$400,000. I mean, I know when you compare it to a Jeff Bezos yacht, it's really nothing. It's like...
Well, that's what... What was the percentage on that, you think, Kevin? What do you...
So that's like, what is that, like less than 1% of the cost
that's
of his
like a,
yacht
that's
or
like
something?
A, like a 0.1%. Well, it's a 0.1 Jeff Bezos yacht.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like cryptocurrency. You don't actually ever spend an entire Bitcoin anymore. You spend a fraction of a Bitcoin, right?
True, yeah.
You don't ever really spend a full Jeff Bezos yacht. You spend a fraction
of
one.
You spend a fraction of Jeff Bezos yacht. Right. Yeah. That's just the scale that you use to decide how much you spend. Like I had a smoothie and it was, you know,
.0001127
of a Bezos yacht. How much did that cost you? It was a very small sliver of a Bezos yacht. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
We should start that, our own cryptocurrency that is Bezos yacht.
How can we do that? That'd be awesome. We'd be rich immediately.
We just need to get Elon Musk, who you know would probably love us because we're so nice to him and we talk about how amazing he is all the time. If he just talks about it a couple times, the Bezos yacht coin will go to the moon.
Listen,
right?
Listen, Elon called me the other day. Now, I'm not sure it was, I don't know if it was Elon, but let's be honest. It was from the area code.
It probably was.
And I didn't answer. I didn't know to answer. It did ask me for money on the record. It seemed like it was going to ask me for money. I think it was Elon. Give me a call. Yeah. Say how he's really appreciating the work we're doing over here. Because he's objective like that.
I mean,
he can step back.
We were just going to talk about him and nobody else on this podcast, and we haven't talked. Well, we blew it. We did not make it through a podcast without mentioning his name.
So Kevin doesn't know this, listeners, but this is my tactic. I have an Are We Recording tactic. My tactic is, how long can I go? Can I push this before Elon comes up and we get it? We dig into him. We can bring him up. How long can we go before we dig in? And that isn't to say that I don't love talking about Elon, because I do. It's more to say, like, it's almost like a challenge, like a challenge yourself. Like, how far can you run up that hill before you're too tired and you have to start walking? Like, I want to see how long we can go before we hit on one of the two elephants. We get into detail with one of the two elephants in the country. And I think we know who those elephants are.
I mean... You know that the full self-driving car is right around the corner, Mark. It's just about there. They announced that the $25,000 car was like axed,
yeah,
right? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So the stock tanked. So like the next day he said, we're going to have full self-driving taxis like tomorrow, and the stock went back up.
And you have to imagine like how many, like one phone call to the engineering team going like, do it, no.
And
they all stressed that nobody slept that night on the engineering team.
So it's complete BS though, right?
Of course, it's total.
It's either complete BS in that they're not going to have it because we know that these cars would just run people over, or he knows that there's enough people in government or in these agencies that will approve his nonsense, regardless of the fact that it will run people over. One of those two is the correct thing. Either it's not ready either way.
It's all such a shell game, you know, and it's those guys are just masters of the shell game. I mean, it would be so stressful to me, I wouldn't be able to do it, but it's just like a report comes out, lie about something.
Right.
Okay, great. But now you got to live that lie for a while. How long can you live that lie? What's the new lie that's going to cover that lie to keep the stock price up? What's this lie? How do you do the new lie?
That's why you're not a CEO. We were talking about the Boeing CEO, right?
Yeah.
And he has some real, his life, it's been stressful and hard because he has been trying to pass off $1 million in personal travel on the corporate jets as business travel.
Because he doesn't want to pay taxes on that money.
Right. But he's getting like a $43 million retirement package and he got paid $23 or $32 million. So I don't know. What's the difference, Mark?
Look, Kevin, I don't want to point out how stupid you are on this part in public forum, but you're really dumb.
I am dumb.
Because let's be honest here. Like, look at the facts, Kevin. If I had a $43 million payment package and I had to pay taxes on $500,000 of that or $1 million of that, of course I'd avoid it with all my heart. I mean, because that's an extra, what, $300,000 out of my account? I can't do what I want with. I deserve that money, Kevin.
It's amazing.
I deserve it.
It's amazing how much of a disincentive it is to have to pay taxes on $43 million. Mm. Basically, if I make $43 million and you tax me and I have to pay like $18 million in taxes on $43 million, I will basically just want to go work at Starbucks.
Totally. Why?
Because
what's the point of doing anything?
What am I going to do?
John Galt.
What am I going to do with $26 million when I could go work at Starbucks and make $20,000 and apply for Medicaid? I mean, you know what? I would probably, screw it. I'm going to live at home, get on Medicaid, and just, you know, have babies.
Listen, Kevin, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to throw the gauntlet down right now. Mm-hmm. Someone offers me $43 million and the government asks me to pay $20 million of that in taxes. I'm shooting myself. I'm killing myself.
Right.
It's not it. It's not worth it.
You're not doing it.
It's not worth living. No. It's not worth living.
You're going to turn the whole thing down.
It's not worth living in a country that is willing to take 20 of my $43 million, just my parachute package, by the way, not my actual yearly salary, because that's a whole other thing and all my investments. Because that's another thing. It is not worth my life.
And you know what they would do with that money, Mark? They would give it to a bunch of lazy bums.
Oh, and fix the roads.
Right.
What?
And maybe pay for some people's cancer, or maybe the education of our young people. Listen, these are all terrible things.
Musk's self-driving cars are going to be able to avoid potholes better than any other driver in the world. So we don't need to fix the roads, Kevin.
Well, and just think about his little tunnel in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Currently has drivers driving
those cars.
What's
her name again? Sorry. Bad joke. Oh, no, you referred to it that way, but hey, I think he has, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure Trump has.
The boring company.
The boring company. Also, Elon in the bedroom, right? That's what he calls himself. Yeah, that's what she calls him.
She's like, you are boring.
That's like he calls her my little tunnel.
He's like, wait, am I boring or am I boring? She's like, you're definitely boring.
You're definitely boring. Yeah. Which, how do you inflect boring?
Right.
Here's his pet name for her is the little tunnel in Las Vegas, and her pet name for him is
boring.
The boring company. Right. Inflected just like I said.
Right. The boring company.
The boring company.
It's very boring.
Yeah. He's calling us. I know he was calling. I know he
needs
to call.
Yeah, he is. Any minute now. So think about it. So far, his amazing tunnel in Las Vegas.
Another name. Yes, I.
Okay. It's amazing tunnel.
Sorry.
In which drivers drive a little Tesla through a tunnel at...
This is literally a fetish. Like, he's probably said this into chat.
He was very upset when the landlord, he was trying to talk about how he wanted to turn the Twitter headquarters into a homeless shelter, but the landlord wouldn't do it, wouldn't allow him to do it. The landlord, he was very upset because the landlord also would not let him take off the W on Twitter on the building.
You know, I mean, that's while he's doing this, you know, he can just buy the building. He's very rich.
That was absolutely everybody's comment was like, if you really want to make a homeless shelter, guess what? You can buy any goddamn building you want.
You're
right.
Very, very, very rich. I'm
you
sure.
You can only do it with the building you don't own.
You don't own.
That's
right.
The
yeah,
only
yeah.
one.
You can buy the one across
the
street.
Right.
I'm sure there are buildings for sale. All even if that guy won't take double the what you want to pay him. And by the way, he will, because office space is dying in America. You will definitely find a building and make a homeless shelter.
So I always get this kind of thing too. Like people will go, well, oh, they you know, he doesn't actually have $400 billion or whatever it is. I don't even know what he's worth. What I don't know what his net worth is. It's up 30%. It's down 30%. Is it 440, 150, whatever? He's worth billions, and people go, he doesn't actually have that money. Just like Jeff Bezos doesn't actually have all the money. It's in stock, yeah. Right? But my question is, so how does Jeff Bezos have a $500 million yacht
right.
if he only makes 80? His salary is like
87,000.
Right. So how is he buying a $500 million yacht? You know what people say? Well, they borrow the money with the stock as collateral. And then my question is, do you know what the payment on a monthly payment on a $500 million loan is?
You still have to pay it.
Where that's more per month than he makes in a year, according right?
Oh yeah.
So what is going on that he can make the payment on a $500 million loan?
He's got it.
He's got them right.
He's got it.
Yeah. It's such a load of crap.
But the other thing is, and the other side of that is, he also doesn't have the power and influence that he has, except that he has it in stock because you give it to him.
Right.
It's, in other words, it's a similar, like if you take the financial side and say, okay, he's worth not, he has $400 billion and that's why we respect him.
Right.
Because he's such a good businessman and so smart. But he doesn't actually have $400 billion.
No.
He can't actually do anything with it. He just has it. Okay. Well then take the power and clout and the reverence side of that and say like, well, he doesn't actually have any of that. We just give it to him in stock because none of it's real, right?
No.
This money's not real, but we let him have stuff because of it. And the power and clout isn't real, except we let him have it just because.
Yeah.
Like it's all based on a false floor, right?
He has 4 million, you know, Elon bro fans that own 80% of the stock.
Yeah.
And then the other 20% is owned by venture capital firms or something who are just sitting there going, yes, just keep talking.
Whatever, man.
And all your bros just keep buying stock.
Crap. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but a lot of those bros, a lot of those venture guys are bros too. And,
that's
but
true.
But they're all cut from the same cloth, right? They're just a type A, want to be richer than the next guy, and you know, think they're cooler because they can buy some crap that you can't buy.
Yeah, but Mark, just because you can have cooler things than me doesn't make you cooler than me.
God, it feels like it though. Every time I buy my new whatever, I don't know, a new juicer. I buy a new juicer every week just to be cooler than you. You know, I buy my coffee.
I don't have a juicer, and you have like 12.
I have 12 juicers.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I could lend you one if you want one. I could rent it to you.
I would borrow.
I'm thinking about renting it to homeless people but I don't know if I don't think I'm allowed to.
Yeah, you might not
the
be
juicer
allowed
company
to,
said no.
You really, really wanted to, and they said no.
The juicer
and you
company
were like,
it wasn't really didn't fit with their brand.
He did say that he was going to donate. He was going to end. What was it? Homelessness or world hunger or something? If people would just tell him to do it. And then I think they told him to do it and he didn't do it. So, you know.
Like which people? Because I'll tell him. I'll give him a call.
It was
right
like
now.
People on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
X. Whatever. Still Twitter.com,
you know, Twitter,
but it's actually X.
My favorite thing about this whole like pivot to X is, well, there's a couple of favorites. First of all, it's stupid. Because X is not a brand. X is a letter that makes X marks. There's so many things it could be.
Right.
So I can't just say, oh, X, and you know what I mean. Twitter, you knew immediately what I meant.
Right.
But my favorite thing about the whole Twitter debacle I lost my train of thought. Is that, what was I going to say? Shoot. I hate it when I do that. I do that once in a while.
I know. We just kind of digress and dance around, so and things. Then we forget about what the hell we were talking about. It's because we're amateurs.
Oh, yes. I know what it was.
Oh, see? I helped you out.
Because.
Uh-huh.
Who is the artist formerly known as Prince?
Prince.
Yeah. Which is always what X is going to be.
Right.
X, the social platform formerly known as Twitter, forever, for all time.
And it still has a URL of twitter.com.
Yeah. No one's ever going.
It's not x.com now. It's twitter.com.
Because x.com is taken and he doesn't want to pay for it. And I get the guy who owns x.com is like, yeah, sure.
What Elon will do is go to court and try to force him to give it up.
Oh, yeah, because he's not using it.
He's a cyber squatter. Yeah.
X.com is probably like, probably the band X. I hope it's the band X. Wouldn't that be great? I hope he ends up having to pay Exene Cervenka and John Doe $400 million.
It's either that or like a porn site.
That's true too. Yeah, the first porn site. Right, not the second nor the third.
Right.
Just the first. The second and third were clearly had extra X's. Right. But it's always and forever going to be X, the social platform.
Formerly known as Twitter.
It's total Prince. It's totally. And it backfired on Prince because he was always the artist formerly known as Prince.
Right.
X, formerly known as Twitter.
It's so dumb, too. And I've deleted it from my phone. I hardly use it. I've heard that it's not going great still.
Really?
And I have logged in a couple times. And guess what? Every single time I log in, right at the top is an Elon Musk tweet. So it's basically just his megaphone,
right,
which is, of course, what it was. He was like, this is for free speech. And it's like, no, it's for your speech.
Yeah. Which is what Truth Social is, right?
Yeah. This was because you didn't think censorship to these people is people saying F you. Right?
I feel like we should rename these platforms or in the common lexicon, we should rename them. Elon's megaphone X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
And Donald's whatever, like, platform known as Truth Social. It's like that's Donald's megaphone known as Truth Social.
And both of them, the stock are not like Truth Social, whatever it is, Trump Media Group or
DJT Media or something like that. Yeah. Donald Jackass Trump.
Right.
I think that's his middle name, right?
Yeah.
Middle
Jackass. Name? I'm pretty sure.
Jackass.
Yeah.
It's something like that. It's close. Yeah. I'm close. I don't know.
You're very close. And it's not doing great either. It's gone down a lot.
It's not gone down enough, though. It's not gone down for my liking. I mean, it went down like 30%, and so now his like newfound wealth is now $4 billion instead of $7 billion or something like that. But it really needs to.
It's amazing he's been in this lawsuit, you know, where he's like both inflated his net worth and deflated his net worth, depending on whether he wants to be taxed or he wants a loan, and. I feel like it's the same thing still to this day, even though he's in a lawsuit about that very thing. Like, yes, Donald Trump said that he had a 300 million square foot, empire when he wanted a loan. But then when he was being taxed, he was like, oh, it's only 30,000 square feet, right? No.
Yeah.
And but now that...
It's a small one bedroom in the East Village.
Yeah, it's a studio.
It's a studio in the one village.
Everything I own is basically this studio.
We got a hot plate. Right, I steal cable from the neighbor, you know.
Quick, take my name off those buildings.
My name is on the building, but I put that up myself.
I climbed up one night.
No one was around. Yeah. It's a thing you do in New York because you're out late. You know, you're drinking. It's fun. It's fun. You had a good meal and you're feeling it and you're hanging out with people.
So when he's trying to come up with the bond or whatever. For a trial where he's being accused of manipulating the numbers, he basically manipulates the numbers to say, he's like, I'm a very wealthy man. And then when they give him their like $400 million, he's like, I don't have any money. I'm broke.
I don't have any of that money.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also a not wealthy man, depending on the circumstances. Right. Yeah, yeah. I would like to be able to. Oh, God, okay, wouldn't it be great? And that's, I think, the thing. I think that it's weird that there's so many people who live vicariously through these people in this country. Like, I don't – like, let's take Biden. Look, I'm not singing Biden's praises. I don't love everything about the guy. I love him against Trump, of course.
But
like, he's,
you have a – Dark Brandon shirt on right now and a Dark Brandon hat.
And when my Biden back piece.
Yeah. When you came in here, you were like, yeah, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's often every other word. I've actually changed like, oh, that sounds great to like, oh, that sounds Biden.
Right.
Like I just sort of changed certain words to be like, oh, man, great touchdown. That was amazing.
That was
guy
so Biden.
So Biden. That was so Biden of that guy. Seriously, like not dead.
Right.
That's basically what that means. Right. Yeah, yeah. That's what all that means. Like, that's so Biden of you. You mean not dead? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I got sick. I got hit by a car. Went to the hospital, but I survived. That's super
so
Biden.
So Biden.
You know, you just keep trucking, you know, just keep breathing.
May the Biden be with you.
May the Biden be with you. All day. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my thing. That's my thing right there. I'm bad Biden. I mean, yeah, you can tell he's got
right.
Like, the Botox going on.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And he's barely holding on.
I mean, our two-party system sucks, right? Well, it really does suck.
I had a thought, though, the other day. I had this great thought, and it's a really silly great thought, but it's part of the whole branding of America, which is sort of ridiculous. Is it's like, you know, like the vice president should be able to be president. So, like, okay, let's like Biden right now. Okay, the guy hasn't been great. I don't love everything he's done. I'm pissed about how he kicked off the whole Israeli, you know, Hamas thing. 100% Hamas sucks, should go to their graves, but what's going on in Gaza is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
But the carte blanche check, you know, blank check for Israel was not okay in the beginning. It had to be like, okay, yeah, we got your back, but don't, because we knew this was going to happen.
Right.
This is not surprising. This story was written a long time ago.
They were just waiting for an opportunity.
Waiting
right?
for them. And Netanyahu was waiting. And I say they, I shouldn't say Israel, I say Netanyahu. Netanyahu and certain of his people were waiting for this opportunity, and they got it, and they're loving this. But not most of Israel is like this, and not most, of course, the vast majority are not okay with this or wouldn't be okay if they knew what was going on. But anyway, the point about the Biden thing is it's like, oh, what was I going to say? I'm doing that again.
Because we digress.
Because we digress. Damn it. God, I should take a note before I start.
I know. I had something in mind too that I was going to talk about. Damn and
it. Well, we'll do that
and
we say. Digress. So, but the thing about Biden is, oh, this is what it was. It was the vice president thing.
Oh yeah.
Like, isn't the vice president supposed to be completely capable of being president? So McCain, I think, is the first, and maybe I'm wrong. Is the first in my recent memory. The first guy who chose a vice president was like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
This person can't be president. Well, like, you could die.
Up until he chose Sarah Palin, I was like, well, I mean, if Barack Obama loses, at least it's John McCain.
At least it's McCain. He's not the worst guy.
And then he selected Sarah Palin, and I was like,
oh, shit.
Whoa,
yeah.
Barack Obama cannot lose.
Can't lose.
Right, yeah.
100%. Yeah, and like, shouldn't have lost, but certainly can't lose now.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's the weird thing is that we're all, and I would love to see the media start talking about this. Like, hey, it's okay that Biden's 80. I mean, it takes a lifetime of experience. It should take a lifetime of experience to become the president of the United States. Very few people are smart enough, wise enough, you know, at a younger age to be able to take on something like this. You should be... No, I shouldn't say you should only be 50, 60, 70 years old, but you should certainly have a large life experience behind you and a very, very intelligent, very, very vast person and understanding politics, which ain't easy.
Right.
So my thing is like, I'm actually not so worried about Biden's age because Kamala's fine with me. Like, I don't love her. I don't know enough about her, frankly. They haven't brought her forward enough and I'd like them to. Whereas it's like, the Palin thing is a great example where it's like McCain is older.
Right.
He could die. Okay, that happens. That's why we have a vice president.
Right. That's but not okay. Sarah Palin.
But not you.
Right.
And so it's the same thing with any – I think that one of the things about this country is we don't actually respect the vice presidency as an actual alternative. And there's the running mate – choosing the running mate is so important, but we don't actually believe that. because we don't think about, because that person just ends up being a figurehead that walks around and goes and does, goes to the elementary school and promotes like, oh, you know, like No Child Left Behind kind of thing, instead of them actually doing hard work. And they should be doing hard work, because they should be the person, not just the assistant, which is what they right. are. But they're not touted as that when they're high, when they're when, right. they're when they're when they're chosen. They should actually be the person who is going to take this over if something happens to the main person.
Right.
And we don't brand them that way. No. We don't treat them that way.
No, it's kind of just become like a joke.
They're just like the sec. They're like yeah. the, they're like the redhead stepchild.
You just had to come up with somebody who everybody can tolerate. They look at it like, you know, oh wait, she's a black woman.
Right.
Perfect. It, you know, for like, she'll feel, yeah. feel some, and that was why Sarah Palin got chosen. It was like, oh, she's like a down home woman.
Right.
And it's like, she's also a moron.
Right.
I mean, that yeah, was she's a moron. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to be your president.
Right. No.
But, oh, she can like relate to you, but I don't want her to relate to me. I'm sure, want her to be able to be president.
I'm pretty sure that Republicans could have, like, you want a woman? I'm sure you could have found a woman.
Yeah.
You chose like the dumbest person. And I'm not even trying to say what her IQ is. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe she's really good at calculus.
I don't know.
But she came off as a moron.
I think that she's a moron, Kevin. I don't. And I think that you know what? You gotta call. Every once in a while, you gotta like you know the shortest distance between two points. Right?
Isn't she like divorced? And every one of her kids has either been to jail and or had kids out of wedlock, and she's like supposed to be like the conservative icon,
or is aspiring to one of those two things. Yeah, I really, really hate my mom, and I can't wait to have a child out of wedlock, right. and or have a or go to jail.
Out of
wedlock, I think it's even worse. I think it's
like I don't even care about that. Whatever, about that. Right? You know, but when your whole thing is being a conservative, yeah, pious a-hole,
right?
Then
right,
yeah. you know, I get to call you out when you fail.
Yeah, exactly. When your whole family doesn't right. follow that path.
Yeah, which is kind of like Marjorie Taylor Greene having an affair with her like trainer or something, and now she's getting divorced. And then Lauren,
is she really?
I think I don't know if she's getting divorced or whatever, but apparently she had an affair with her trainer or something. That's why
she's a horse.
Yes.
Her horse trainer. The face. She's a horse, right? Right. Her horse trainer?
Yeah.
She had an affair with her horse trainer, her own trainer?
Yeah.
Because she's got that horse face, yeah. doesn't she?
And then Lauren Boebert, of course, you know, that whole thing's she's a clusterfuck, right?
Yeah. She's a special person, Kevin. Don't go near that.
The fact that there are still people who are like, you know what? She's got my vote.
Well, Trump. I mean,
yeah. I guess if you can still say, I will vote for Trump no matter what. I guess you can vote for Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And
I'm just going to say something here, Kevin, that I want you to just take a pause on and think about. And okay. It's not really you, because you'll clock this quickly. I want the audience to think mm-hmm. quickly about. She got in trouble for groping her date at Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
the play.
And they were vaping, groping.
Vaping, I could get. She groped a man.
And he, yeah.
At Beetlejuice.
Well, and
what? You've seen it. I've seen it 6-8 times. What scene in Beetlejuice makes you amorous? Gives you sort of a sense of, you know, like, I want my partner now. But this was not the remains of the day. It was not some sort of sexually charged play. It was. And that asks, that poses the question, what turns Laura Boebert on?
Well, and how old is she? I'm not really sure. But, I mean, she's like, is she 40s?
Yeah, I would say 44 or something.
Okay, so when was the last time you wanted to go to a movie theater, a public movie theater, and like grope and make out with a person? Like maybe when you were 20? 18? I mean, okay. I'm asking the wrong person. It was probably last week, right?
I don't want to say. I mean, Asteroid City came out, yeah. And who doesn't like a good grope in a Wes Anderson movie?
Right.
You know, who isn't in there going like, ah, you know, I don't know, the French... I can't think of the name of that movie.
French, yes. I have to look it up.
Why can't I? I've never seen it. That's why I don't know it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've never seen it either.
Isle of Dogs. Oh,
French Dispatch.
Isle of Dogs. I'm so aroused right now.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Moonrise Kingdom. Yeah. Oh, I love that scene.
Fantastic
where,
Mr. Fox.
Oh my goodness. Oh, stop. It's like that's sort of like a fish called Wanda, like speaking German. He's like, oh no, I'm so. Jamie Lee Curtis is getting aroused because John Cleese speaks German.
I mean, didn't Lauren Boebert or this guy have their own residence?
Yeah, right. Maybe they had a theater. Maybe they had a TV.
When you're like a teen, you're like, where can I go where it's dark and my parents aren't?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But when you're like 44?
I'm thinking about, you know, maybe you come over tonight, got a bottle of wine, some candles, throw on Beetlejuice. I don't know, you know?
Right.
See what happens.
They were going to go to her house, but, you know, her parents were still there, and, you know, they were.
Yeah, her DVD right? of Beetlejuice yeah. is skipping. Yeah. Yeah, she spilled red wine on it. Yeah. she scratched it with her vape.
Right.
By mistake.
Oh, man.
These are special people, though, Kevin, and I don't think we should keep talking about them like this because it's actually getting to be, I'm getting emotional.
I know. I do think we've mentioned Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I kind of think our job here is done. Our job should have been done 15 minutes ago before we mentioned those four or five fine folks, because I'm just upset that somehow every single time we have to talk about these morons.
I just think we need to listen. I'm gonna do this right now. This is the time. You're right. I think you're right. I think we need to wrap this podcast up. And here's what we need to do. We're gonna wrap this podcast up. We're gonna go drink some whiskey, more whiskey, have some Indian food, and launch Jeff Bezos's yacht cryptocurrency.
Yes. I mean, you know that the Shiba Inu, whatever that was, Dogecoin, that was a joke.
Yeah.
And the guy who one of the guys who did it was pissed at the whole thing. He's like you idiots. Like, Elon Musk is just toying with you. So yeah. if they can do it, we can do it.
Totally.
All we have to get is somebody, you know.
I think the problem with us is, though, that the flaw in our formula here is that to actually meme this whole thing, you'd have to go after, you'd have to be, you, unless, you know, sometimes you get caught out, but like, you'd have to be a liberal person because you'd be like, ha ha ha, right? Jeff Bezos's yacht. And then but liberal people don't really do that. Like, they're not generally the people who want to like who get behind that kind of like intense cause. They don't care.
Right.
They're going to true social this thing or whatever. It's like, no, you have to kind of like, you have to almost turn it into like, I don't know, Stephen Colbert's microphone or whatever. And then it's like, ah, you suck, Stephen. I'll spend my last 6 months of my paycheck at the wherever the heck to support that, because ha ha ha. It's like, you know, someone who listens to NPR like us is going to be like, ha ha ha, I'm not doing that. That's right. Stupid. I'm going
to
do that.
So we could shorten it, though, if we were to do it. It doesn't have to be like Jeff Bezos Yacht Coin. It could just be Bezos Yacht Coin, BYC.
BYC.
Yeah.
BYC.
I mean, it sounds a lot better when you do that, right?
It also,
that would be the little ticker, you know,
isn't
thing,
the,
right?
And it also sort of, I'm actually might Google it. It also sort of like,
peg it to the value of a Bezos yacht.
I think that we should peg it to the Joy Division song where he goes like 3Y, what is it? He says 3YG, 3YG, whatever it is. I don't know. Is that what he's saying? And so that would be we'd have to buy the rights to that song.
Ooh, wow. I mean, Joy Division. Cool. Wow.